Welcome to a Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you holiday broadcasts in your theater of the mind. I'm your host, Mark Levelner. Later in this hour, the Edgar Berg and Charlie McCarthy show from the holidays, but first it's part 7 of 26 of The Cinnamon Bear. This episode called Presto the Magician from December 5th, 1937.
And here's the Cinnamon Bear.
Now let's take a look at Judy and Jimmy and their friends, the Cinnamon Bear and the Crazy Quilt Dragon. Things seem to be happening left and right. Wesley, the wailing whale, swallowed their silver star and finally got it off his chest when Crazy Quilt tickled him and made him cough it up. Samuel, the seal, caught it and started to juggle it. Higher and higher he tossed the star, and then, alack, Penelope, the pelican, snatched it in midair and off she flew. As Cinnamon Bear would say, this is a pretty kettle of halibuts.
Oh, dear. Every time I think about our star, I want to cry. Seems like we just never will get it back. Don't you suppose we ought to just head out into the Root Beer Ocean and keep looking, Cinnamon Bear?
I don't think that would be so wise, Judy.
No, I should say not. Not until I've eaten my 4 barrels of corks. It would be a sad thing for us to get started and then have me get all soaked up with root beer. Oh.
What's funny, Crazy Quilt?
I was just thinking. Maybe we could find us a root beer float. Oh.
Oh, this is no time for bum jokes, Crazy.
Oh, I thought it rather good myself.
It's not. Now, Judy, I don't think it would do any good to head out into the root beer ocean. We haven't the extra slightest notion of which way the pelican was flying.
Well, right now I don't care much about anything. I'm so hungry.
Ah, food. Now that you mention it, Jimmy, I could trifle with a few dozen lollipops myself.
And sure, and I haven't had any cinnamon buns for some time. If I want to keep extra special ferocious, I just must have my cinnamon buns.
Suppose we all hop on Crazy Quilt's back and get back to land again.
Capital. I'm all dried out now, and it isn't very far. Climb aboard, my friend.
Yeah, how about those Incaboos? Can't we go further up the coast a bit and avoid them? Soak my stuff in if I ever want to meet up with them again.
None of us would, Cinnamon Bear.
I'll head sort of north by East Northley, and that'll bring us to a shore quite a bit out of their territory.
Ah, you've no idea how good that sounds to me ears, Crazy Quilt. Come on,
sure
let's go.
Sure thing. I'll get you ashore before you can say Jack Robinson.
Jack Robinson.
Oh, that's not fair, Judy. I wasn't ready.
Aw, you can't swim that fast, Crazy Quilt, and you know it.
Maybe so, maybe no. But just hang on tight and see how you like this.
Hey,
hey,
hey.
Oh, look, he's using his tail for a propeller. Come along, Crazy. Why are you like in the water? We're going to like
Oh, I get it. Was a quickie, Crazy Quilt.
I'll say it was.
Oh, I was just poking along.
Oh, you don't say so. Well, if you'd have gone any faster, it would have blown all my fur off.
My goodness, Crazy Quilt. This looks awful steep along here.
Wait a minute. Who's that over there by that big rock?
Why, it's a man. And isn't he funny looking? He hasn't got any sleeves in his coat.
And would you look at that hat? It's so big it completely covers his face.
And look, Judy. Look at all those white rabbits following him. Willikers. Why, there must be about 20 of them.
Oh, it must be. It is.
Is who?
Fade my colors if it isn't that measly magician, Mr. Presto.
You mean he's a bad man, Crazy Quilt?
Oh, no, not that, but he's a bad magician. He takes magic lessons by correspondence.
He means by mail, Judy.
Right, and he insists on trying his half-baked magic on everything and anybody. Last time I met up with him, he practiced a bit on me. I shall never forget it.
Well, what did he do, Crazy Quilt?
Well, pride will not permit me to tell you, Jimmy. My Crazy Quilt ancestors would turn over in their graves.
Greetings, my old friend Crazy Quilt. Greetings and salutations. So glad to see you again, and how's your Uncle Gregory?
He seems very pleasant, Crazy Quilt.
I refuse to make further comment, for a minute anyway.
If he's a magician, maybe he can help us get our silver star back.
Well, 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 this is the treat, if I do say so, and who are your friends, Crazy Quilt?
Oh, hello, Presto. May I make you acquainted with Judy and Jimmy and Patio Cinema?
How do you do? How do you do? Any friend of Crazy Quilt's is a friend of mine, as I always say. So glad to see you, and how are you?
How's about a few carrots, huh? Us rabbits is gonna get tough if you don't crack through with some grub, and we don't mean maybe, see?
Pardon me, Mr. Presto, but did that white rabbit say that, or are you a ventriloquist?
No, that was the rabbit, unfortunately. I produced him and about 20 others while I was doing my homework on magic lesson number 4. I take magic lessons by mail, very good, too, but after I produced all these rabbits out of my hat, I couldn't get rid of them. Keep following me around all the time and yelling for carrots. Very annoying, very annoying.
But if you're a magician, why don't you make them disappear? Then they wouldn't bother you.
Alas, I'm unable to do that. Lesson number 5 on how to make white rabbits disappear with nothing up your sleeve was lost in the mail.
Oh, that's too bad. By the way, Mr. Presto, if you don't mind my saying so, I think you ought to get a hat that fits you. It keeps slipping down all over your face all the time. It's twice too big for you.
Good business, fellow, just good business. I'm twice as good as any magician living. Gotta have a hat twice as big.
Ah, maybe so, Presto. But inasmuch as it's resting on your Adam's apple most of the time, it seems to me you're talking through your hat.
Scorn me if you will, Crazy Quilt, but so help me Houdini, if you don't mind your tongue. One of these days when I get to lesson 23, I'll turn you into a lounge lizard and
says
then
you... Says you, you moldy old magician. Why, I'll pull your hat so far down over your face, you'll be able to wear it for a skirt.
Here, here, control yourself, boys. Control yourself. Calm down.
That's what I say. Besides, I want to ask Mr. Presto here some special questions.
Only too happy to accommodate you, young man. Only too happy to
accommodate
you.
Well, what I want to know is, why don't you have any sleeves in your coat?
Simple, my child, simple. If I don't have any sleeves, folks will know I have nothing up them.
And are you a good magician, Mr. Presto?
Good. I'm slightly terrific. I'll demonstrate.
Well, there's only one kind of magic we'd be interested in right now. We're awful hungry. Can you get us something to eat?
Food, simplest thing in the world. Learn that in lesson 15. That is the fundamental. So happens that the great Presto is a snazaroo when it comes to producing eatables. Your orders, please, just name it.
Cinnamon buns for me, with currants and plain icing.
Not that I think you can produce anything, Presto. But I could toy with about 3 Loganberry lollipops.
Well, I want something that's regular food, You can make mine a ham and egg sandwich, and you don't have to toast it either.
I think I'd like that too, Mr. Presto.
All simple stuff. I'll start with the ham and egg sandwiches first. I place my hat on the ground, cover it with my kerchief, a few choice words, hocus pocus, ipso facto, abracadabra, and erasmatag. Remove the handkerchief from the hat and...
You've got the makings all right, but I don't think I could eat a real live pig and a chicken.
Up to your old stuff, eh, Presto?
Am I mortified? So sorry. Million apologies. How about a few card tricks?
I'm afraid you're a frost, Presto. Now, how about finding lost things? Are you any good at that?
Right down my alley, lesson 17. What have you lost?
It's our silver star, Mr. Presto. It belongs on top of our Christmas tree, and we just got to get it back.
Silver star? Excuse me while I go into a quick trance. Oh, I'm getting it. Oh, it's traveling over water. Oh, a bird has it. A pelican has it.
That's more like it.
You're all right, Presto. You're all right.
If you're so good at knowing where things are, perhaps your magic can bring back Penelope the Pelican, back with the silver star.
Simplicity itself. In a moment, you'll see her step out of my silk hat. Watch a wave of the wand this time. And behold the pelican.
Oh, that's no pelican. It's a halibut.
Such goings on. Nothing sacred anymore, not even a halibut. Cooey do, sir, and goodbye.
Oh, please, please, just a slight error someplace. Let me try again. Behold!
Don't look now, Presto, but I think you've got something there.
Why, it's a penguin!
Yes, a penguin I am, and if I may say so, raspberries to all of you. Goodbye.
Please, I beg of you, just one more chance.
All right, but this is the last time.
Behold!
You did it! It's Penelope!
Hooray!
That this should happen to me. Penelope Perry the Pelican, descended from a long line of respectable pelicans. You'll answer for this. I'll write a letter, that's what I'll do. You'll hear from me, sir. How dare you interrupt a blue-blooded pelican when she's flying along and minding her own business? Why, your cheap vaudeville magic jerked me so violently, I thought I'd lose my back feathers, and then to be pulled out of a silk hat. Let's see the label. Oh, cheap stuff, and second-hand at that.
Where's our silver star you took away from the seal when he was juggling it?
Oh, that thing. A pretty bauble, too. Bill, I was flying over the island of Obi when this 10th-rate magician jerked the daylights out of me and I dropped it.
Oh, dear.
Did you see where it landed on the island?
How could I? It all happened like a flash. And now, if you ruffians are quite finished, good day. And wait till my congressman hears about this, the very idea.
Oh, whatever will we do now? We're farther away from the Silver Star than ever.
Oh, don't cry, Judy. Be a regular twin, not a sniffly girl.
All right, Jimmy.
Well, presto. What have you to say for yourself now?
Nothing, absolutely nothing. I am abject. I am prostrate. I feel like a snake in the grass.
What?
Goodness, he is a snake in the grass.
Well, sure enough, he turned right into one. And watch him wriggle away.
And let's hope he stays that way for some time. He's nothing but a nuisance.
So that's that. Well, let's not waste our time crying about what's happened. Let's start off and look for something to eat and a boat to get us over to the island of Obi.
You're right, Cinnamon Bear. Let's see what's around the other side of this rock. Come on, Jimmy. Come on, Crazy Quill.
Okay, Judy.
All right. Oh, but be careful.
All right.
Slippery.
Oh. What's this? Look, right up against the rock.
Why, it's a chest. And it looks like a pirate chest that you read about.
Why, so it does. And see what's written on it. Private property of Captain Taffy. Hands off.
Let's open it. Maybe there's gold in it.
No, I'll take this side, and Jimmy, you take that other side over there.
Gee, Willikers, listen.
Wow, we're surrounded.
Oh, pirates, we're done for.
Oh, Jimmy.
Pirates. That's bad. Yes, indeed. From all I've read and heard about pirates, they're not especially good people to meet up with. Not at all. And next time, we'll find out just what's in store for poor Judy and Jimmy and Cinnamon Bear and Crazy Quill.
The Cinnamon Bear on Tuned to Yesterday, Part 7 of 26. From December 5th, 1937. The creator of the show, Glanville Heisch, not only wrote most of the script, but with help from his wife Elizabeth, penned most of the songs, which were sung by the Paul Taylor Quartet. And according to Dennis Crow of the Washington, D.C. Old Time Radio Club, the popularity of the series has never really wavered. In the mid-1980s, for instance, the Cinnamon Bear Brigade, its main fan club, had well over 400 members, making it at that time much larger than most old time radio clubs in the country. Let's move on now, Untuned to Yesterday, to Part 8 of 26 of The Cinnamon Bear, this episode called The Candy Pirates, from December 6th, 1937.
And here's The Cinnamon Bear.
Well, we left Judy and Jimmy and their friends in a pretty tight spot last time. You probably remember how Mr. Presto, the correspondence school magician, made several passes at his big silk hat and conjured up Penelope the Pelican, who had made off with the Silver Star. Unfortunately, however, when Mr. Presto exerted his magic power to pull Penelope back, he did it so violently that she dropped the star on the island of Obi. Then, to crown their misfortunes, they were about to open an interesting-looking chest, which they found on the beach, when all of a sudden they were surrounded by pirates. And I must say, they look most ferocious.
Oh, Jimmy, I'm so scared. What do you suppose these pirates will do to us?
Willikers? I don't know, Judy. Gee, we didn't even touch their chest.
What right have you pirates to molest us? We were minding our own business.
Hey, you'll find out soon enough, won't he, mateys? Hey, we can't take this dragon. He's too big for the rowboat.
Maybe he'll be able to rescue us like he did before.
I sure hope so.
Hey, you two children in the bear, you follow us.
Where do you want to take us?
Wouldn't you like to know?
I sure would, all right. And what's more, you can't take Judy and Patio Cinnamon and me if you don't tell us.
Well, well, well. Now, what would you do, huh?
Well, why should I tell you if you won't tell me where you're taking us?
Say, he'd make a good pirate, wouldn't he, matey? Well, my little landlubber, I'll tell you. We're taking you with us on board our ship.
Me too?
Oh, definitely you.
Well, why me?
Well, you're all far too curious for your own good. You'll know in good time.
If you don't need me, I have a very pressing engagement.
Oh, you can go whenever you like. The sooner the better. Scat!
In spite of your undignified rejoinder, I take my leave.
Goodbye, Crazy Quilt Dragon.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Crazy Quilt, old pal.
Goodbye, my friend. Just wait until I find a few barrels of corks. Goodbye.
Well, all ready? Forward. One-Eyed Joe and Black Ben, take the treasure chest.
Aye, aye, mate.
Barnaby Bright, you and Cox and Charlie, stand by to shove off the boat.
Aye, aye.
And the rest of you assist our friends into the boat.
Aye, aye.
I don't like the way they're laughing at all.
It does have a very unpleasant ring to my ears.
Jimmy, take my hand.
All right. I won't let them hurt you, Judy, no matter what.
Are we all ready?
Aye, aye.
Then let's go, all hands to the oars.
Aye.
Shove off.
Aye.
There, we're off. Heave ho, my hearties, for the ship. Heave
ho!
Heave
ho!
Heave
ho!
Heave ho!
I sight the ship, mate.
Ahoy, the Susie Q!
Ahoy below, what do you report?
Treasure and captives!
Oh, Jimmy, now we're captives again. I hope they won't treat us like those old Incaboos.
Oh, I don't think so, Judy. After all, those Incaboos were just blotter people. And these pirates are folks just like us. And maybe they won't want to make pirates out of us.
Excuse me. I never could be a sailor, much less a pirate. These ocean waves are very hard on my stuffing.
Ahoy above!
Ahoy below!
Throw us a rope!
Aye, aye!
Let down the gangplank. We have a lady with us.
A lady!
Oh, no, I'm not a lady. I'm just a little girl.
Madam, you may be just a little girl at home. But with pirates, you're a lady. May I offer you an arm?
No, thank you, Mr. Pirate. If I have to go, I want Jimmy to go with me. We're twins.
As you wish, madam. Up you go. And now the bear. All right, hoist the longboat.
Aye, aye.
And now... where may we conduct our captives to Captain Taffy?
He's on the bridge, mate.
Thanks. This way, please.
Oh, dear.
Gee whiz. This sure is a big ship, all right. What did he call it?
I believe he called it the Susie Q.
And now I bring you before our jolly captain. Captain, our prisoners.
Welcome to our pirate ship.
Now, just a minute. Judy's my twin sister, and I gotta take care of her. And if you're going to make us walk the plank and everything, you better look out, all right.
Well, who said anything about walking planks?
Aren't you pirates? And don't pirates make people walk planks?
Only old-fashioned pirates. Bosun, pipe the chest before us.
Aye, aye.
Open her up.
Oh! Why, it's all candy.
Sure enough.
Gee, toffee and coffee.
caramels.
Chocolate creams. Oh, my goodness.
Cinnamon sticks. My favorite brand.
You see, we're a new kind of pirates.
What do you mean by that?
We'll tell you all about ourselves in our song. Barnaby Bright, strike up our chanting.
Aye, aye, sir.
We're known as candy buccaneers, and pirating's our pleasure. We never hunt for buried gold, cause candy is our treasure. The very thought of pirate loot is quite enough to bore us. But when we sight a candy bar, we shout and sing this chorus.
Hey, hey, go, 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 go. Candy ho, candy ho, there's candy to the starboard. Sing your ho ho and a bottle of pop. Candy ho, candy ho, there's candy to the starboard. Sing your ho ho and a bottle of pop.
Walking planks and fighting jewels may be quite fine and dandy. But if there's fighting to be done, we'd rather fight for candy. We're very fond of jelly beans, of lollipops and taffy. And when we capture chocolate fudge, we're positively daffy.
Candy ho, candy ho, there's candy to the starboard. Sing your ho-ho and a bottle of pop. Hey, ho, ho. Candy ho, candy ho, the candy to the starboard. Sing your ho ho and a bottle of pop.
Isn't it marvelous, Jimmy?
Lord,
my
sure is.
Goodness, what a relief. Bless my stuffing. I've lived in and around the island of maybe for some time, but I never, never heard of candy pirates.
Well, we don't touch the mainland much, my friend. We mostly keep to the islands.
Islands? Did you ever sail near the island of Obi?
Often. In fact, quite often. Yes, it's one of our favorite anchorages.
Do you think you might be going there pretty soon?
Well, that depends. Well, we might just as well head in that direction as any. Have you some special reason in mind?
We certainly have, Captain. Our Silver Star's on there.
Silver Star?
Oh, yes. You see, it belongs on our Christmas tree.
Oh. Well, the candy pirates would be most happy to aid you in your search for the Silver Star. We'll hoist anchor and sail for the island immediately.
That'll be fine. Do you think it'll take long?
Oh, not very. How long does it generally take, pilot?
Well, depends on the wind, Captain. It's pretty good today. Oh, not more than an hour or so.
Good. Bosun, pipe up the anchor.
Aye, aye, sir.
Hoist the jib.
Aye, aye.
Up with the topsail.
Aye, aye.
Pilot, take the helm and head for the island of Obi.
Aye, aye, sir.
And now, my friends, a visit with the candy pirates would not be complete without a little hospitality.
What's that? Something to eat?
Yes, indeed. What would you say to a little refreshment?
Gee, I'd like that and something to eat besides.
Do you happen to have any cinnamon buns? I haven't eaten any in some time, and I feel quite unferocious.
Why, yes, my friend. It so happens that the cook made cinnamon buns only this morning.
Hooray!
And in my cabin, I have some very, very superior chocolate fudge.
Let's hear no more. Lead on, Captain.
Candy ho, candy ho, there's candy to the starboard. Sing your ho-ho and a bottle of pop.
Hey, hey,
candy ho, there's candy to the starboard. Sing your ho-ho and a bottle of pop.
Excuse me, Captain, but land has been sighted.
It has? Well, give me the glass.
Is that the island of Obi?
Yes. You want to take a look through the telescope?
Willikers, it's just like the one we looked through to DeGraw.
So it is.
Jimmy, look. Isn't that a policeman standing with his back to the ocean?
Well, let's see. Well, yeah, sure it is. He looks like one of those roly-poly dolls. Judy, look at him waving his stick.
He's turning around.
What's that bright thing he's wearing on his coat?
Why, my goodness, it's our Silver Star.
Well, at least our friends are on the trail of their Silver Star again, and let's hope that Captain Taffy and the Candy Pirates can get them ashore in time to overtake the roly-poly policeman. It'll be interesting to find out how he happened to get it, and especially if Judy and Jimmy will succeed in getting it back. But we'll have to wait till next time for that.
The Cinnamon Bear, on Tuned to Yesterday, Part 8 of 26, from December 6th, 1937. You're listening to an hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. Now time for the Edgar Bergen Charlie McCarthy Show, an NBC episode from Christmas Eve, 1944.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. On this Christmas Eve, we're happy to welcome as our guests a chorus of 1,000 voices from the Great Lakes Naval Training Station, which is our way of wishing you Christmas greetings. We, of course, are Bill Forman, Ray Noble and his orchestra, the lovely Joan Merrill, Edgar Bergen, and Charlie McCarthy.
Hello, folks. This is Charlie McCarthy wishing you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy Bergen.
Merry Christmas, Charlie.
Well, hello, Mr. Mochi.
Well, I suppose you've written to Santa Claus, huh?
Yes, I wrote to him. Mm-hmm. Just to play safe, I sent a carbon copy to Bergen.
I'm no fool, you know. I don't know.
I suppose you hinted at what you wanted.
Brother, I hinted for 8 pages. I hinted. For every year, Bergen turns a deaf purse.
Oh, well, Charlie, why don't you be a little more subtle?
Well, that don't work either.
No?
Last year, I was subtle. I hinted for something with 2 wheels and a handlebar.
And what did you get?
A lawnmower.
Charlie and Edgar will be back in just a few moments. A few moments made lovely as the charming Joan Merrill sings a cowboy song by the urbane Mr. Cole Porter. Don't fence me in. If you please, Joan.
Lots of land on the starry skies above. Don't fence me in.
No.
Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in.
No.
Let me be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please. Don't fence. Let me wander beyond until I see the mountains rise.
See the mountains rise.
I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences. Gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. Can't look at hovels and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in. Turn me loose.
Let me saddle my old saddle
underneath the western sky.
Sky.
On my cayuse.
Let me wander over yonder till I see the
mountains rise. Till I see the mountains rise. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences. Gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. Can't look at hovels and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in.
Let me go right where.
Lovely, Joan, lovely.
Thank you very much.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, a few words from your Yule log, Charlie McCarthy.
Oh, thank you, Don. My pal, my friend. You know, you're the nicest Don Amici I know.
When you talk like that, I know you want something. What is it, Johnny?
Well, it just so happens you're right this time. I do need help. You see, Bergen said that if I would recite the night before Christmas this evening,
mm-hmm.
he'd give me a special Christmas present.
Well, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Have you memorized it?
Well, part of it, that's all.
Which part?
Just the title.
Mm. What do you want me to do?
Well, make Bergen forget about the poem, but not about the present.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, yeah. Wait a minute. I've got it. Why don't you say that after you learned it, a blow on the head made you forget it?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and I'll be glad to cooperate with a baseball bat.
That's that.
Well, now, look, why should I help you? Why didn't you learn the poem in the first place?
Well, I was just too busy, Don.
Busy doing what?
Well, one thing or another. I was playing hooky for a sick friend.
Oh, there you are, Charlie.
Oh, how are you?
Don, you're just in time to hear Charlie recite that lovely Christmas poem, The Night Before Christmas, by Clement Clark Moore.
I bet he wouldn't have written it if he had a memorized it.
All right, Charlie, go ahead and recite it.
Well, I can recite it much better, Bergen, from memory, with a book in front of me.
Yes.
I'll give the introduction.
No, Don.
Fanfare, Mr. Noble.
No, Don.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are now about to hear that famous classic, The Night Before Christmas, perpetrated by Charlie McCarthy.
Oh, cut it out, fellas. This is so embarrassing.
No, now you go right ahead and recite it, Charlie.
No, please, sir. No.
Now, you mustn't be nervous.
Well, I've always been timid.
No. You go right ahead, Charlie. No, please, Charlie. Go right ahead. Charlie. Now, you mustn't be nervous.
Well, I'm a bundle of nerves.
Charlie. Remember, no recitation, no present.
Oh.
Now, we're all waiting to hear about Santa Claus.
Well, I'll try. There ought to be one down there. Yeah.
We're waiting.
All right. Listen, my children, and you shall hear of a midnight ride of Santa Revere.
No.
Don't tell me I'm wrong.
Yes, you're a little confused.
Well, I'm a bundle of nerves.
Yes, I know. Now, you start over again.
Yes. Under the spreading Christmas tree, a village Santa stands?
No. Perhaps if I just help you with a little start.
That would be good.
Yes. 'Twas the night before Christmas and all through the house.
Gad, Bergen, you took the words right out of my mouth.
Oh, yes.
And believe me, it felt good to get rid of them, too.
Yes. Now, what's the next line? I see, what's the next line? Yes.
Oh, there's more, isn't
it? Yes, of course.
Well, there's all through the house. That's the quiet place. What's the next line, fellas?
No. Remember what it is?
No.
Yes. Not a creature was stirring, not even a louse. No. Not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
Yeah. And that's the way it goes.
Yes. The stockings were hung.
Huh?
Stockings were hung where?
On a nail.
No. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hope.
In hope?
In hope.
In hope that the laundry man soon would be there.
No. In hopes that Saint who?
Saint Vitus?
No.
Saint Bernard?
No.
Saint Paul?
No.
Minneapolis?
No. Now, wait.
Well, gee whiz, I tried.
All right.
I'm on the wrong track.
You certainly are.
I'm going to hate myself in the morning for not knowing this yet.
Well, now, you continue.
Yes. That's true. Where?
In hopes.
Oh, yes. In hopes.
No coaching, please. Much. In hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. Santa calling. Yeah, that's right. The children were nestled all snug in their beds.
Shoot if you must, this old gray head. No.
Well, I give up. Charlie, surely you know the part about Santa Claus.
What part?
Yeah.
The arms and legs?
No. About how he rides through the skies.
Oh, yes. Yes, he flies through the air with the greatest of ease. The jolly fat man in the red DVDs.
What is it?
Well, that part I'm a little rusty on, right in there.
Yes.
Especially right around there.
Yes, all right. Well, I'll tell you, it goes this way. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter...
What'd you do?
I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter.
Oh, yeah. I tore open the shutters and threw up the sash.
Yeah. And now, what about the reindeers?
Oh, what about them?
Yeah. What were their names?
Oh, yeah, that's nice, yeah. What were they?
Well, there's Dancer and Prancer.
Oh, yeah.
And what are the rest of them?
That is Dancer and Prancer and Dandruff and Blinters.
No.
Dunder and Lightning.
No.
I give up.
Donner.
Donner?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Donner, Amici.
No.
I didn't know he made the team.
Well, he didn't. And what did Santa say?
What did he say?
Well, he says, on Dancer, on Prancer.
Oh, yeah. On Dancer, on Prancer. And what do you know? Prancer came in and paid $2.20 to show.
No. And what happened after that?
Santa Claus lived happily ever after. The end. Give me the present.
Well, not so fast. You know, Charlie, I don't believe you studied that poem at all.
Well, I wasn't letter perfect, was I?
No, you weren't.
This being Christmas Eve, Bergen, I cannot tell a lie. I didn't study.
No, well, I'm disappointed in you.
Yes, sir.
But inasmuch as you were man enough to own up...
Oh, I did that, sir, yes.
I'm going to give you the present anyway.
Oh, thank you, Peggy.
And here it is.
Oh, thank you. What is it?
It's a beautifully illustrated copy of that famous poem, The Night Before Christmas.
Is that the present I get?
That's it.
This is Christmas, Bergen, not April Fool's. Oh.
Facing the immediate future, prospects look very good because it brings Joan Merrill and Ray Noble's orchestra together in Don't Take Your Love From Me.
You can take my castle, that's if I had a castle, and I'd miss it for just a while. You could take my treasure, that's if I had a treasure, and I'd face poverty with a smile. But there's one thing I ask of you. One thing you must never do. Tear a star from out the sky, and the sky feels blue. Tear a petal from a rose, and the rose weeps blue. Take your heart away from mine, and mine will surely break. My so please keep the spark away. Would you take
we should have Christmas carols or something like that?
I certainly do, Charlie, and we are. We're going to have a chorus of 1,000 voices with us.
1,000?
Yes.
Well, you can't listen to that many voices at once, can you?
Well, you can if your ear is trained for it, Charlie. For instance, when Ray Noble's band plays, he not only listens to it as an orchestra,
he does, yes,
but he hears each and every individual instrument.
Yeah?
Yes.
And he doesn't do anything about it?
Well... well, the point that I'm trying to make, Charlie, is that to fully enjoy the best in music requires training. And that's why I've arranged for you to take lessons from a famous singing teacher.
Well, now, that's nice of you, Bergen. I didn't know you knew so much about music.
Well, I appreciate classical music, although I don't think you could call me a long hair.
No. No, no one could call you that, Bergen. No.
Hello, 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 hello. Excuse me, please. It's Signor Bourbon.
Oh, no, Bergen. Yes,
yes.
Bergen,
hello, Professor.
Yes.
Who is this, Bergen?
I am Donaldo Pizzicato Amici Victrola Gazzolo,
yeah,
the famous singer.
Yeah. I'm going to give it to you good. Yes. If you're a singer, Gazzolo, I'm John Charles Thomas.
No, I'm a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Thomas.
The pleasure's all yours.
Well, let's get going now. At the first, I'm going to teach you the music apprish.
Yeah.
You know, the... the harmony and the applied stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to get knee deep in it, too.
Yeah. Now, tell me, Professor, are you familiar with Mozart?
Oh, Mo and I just like that.
What about the others?
Yeah, sure, I know them all. I know Rimsky-Korsakov, Streptokowski, Rossini, Puccini.
How about Jack Benny?
That's all right. That's good. Good.
Good,
yes.
Yeah.
Say to me, what do you know about Chopin?
Well, Chopin, you play it like ping pong, only you use a larger racket.
Oh, no. That's right. That's perfect.
Now, first of all, to listen to music, you've got to have music.
Yeah. I'll go along with you so far, yeah.
When the music, if it comes out loud, is a fortissimo. If it comes out soft, is a pianissimo. Then we got a high key and a low key.
Yeah?
And sometimes you got a no key.
In that case, you climb in the window. Now, John.
Oh, it's a cute.
Well, now, Professor Gazzola, suppose we get on with the lesson, if you don't mind.
Okay, Mr. Bon Bon.
Bergen.
What?
Bergen.
Yes.
Mm. Now, Charlie, you sing after me.
Yeah?
Me, me, me.
You.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Perfect. Huh?
Now we try another one.
Do, re, mi. Speaking
of a do, re, mi, that reminds me. When do I get in my pay?
Well, I don't blame you for being worried.
All right, now, just a moment, Professor. Before we talk about that, I'd like to know just a little more about your background.
Oh, so happy for tell you. So happy.
Thank
you. For 20 years, I was a Venetian gondolier.
Oh, is that so?
Yes.
Were you the menace of Venice?
John. Well, I've been in Venice, Professor, and it's a romantic spot with those singing gondoliers.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
I remember I used to sing it like this. Oh, sole mio, splash, splash.
What's the splash, splash?
Well, I got to push the boat.
Oh, yeah.
2 years later, I sing it like this. Oh, sole mio, put.
What's the put?
I make a plan in the morning. I got to out the boat the motor.
Oh, good.
You know, I write the songs, too.
Well, you write songs?
Oh, sure.
Well, then you must meet our famous songwriter, Ray Noble. Oh, Ray.
Yes, Edgar.
Meet Professor Gazzolo.
Oh, you know something about the music?
Oh, yes, rather. Why, some of my best songs are music.
Well, who do you think of that, huh? Say, who are you studying under, hmm?
The people upstairs, old boy.
Oh, he's a very funny man, eh?
Yeah, well, don't encourage him, don't encourage
him. Oh, no, huh?
He's a bad one,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Professor Gazzolo studied music in Italy, Ray.
Oh, did you really, old man? Dear me. And have you a bachelor's degree?
No, senor. I got the 4 bambinos.
Well, I'm glad you fellas have so much in common. Now, I'd like to ask you one question. What do you think is the finest piece of music ever written?
Well, Edgar, if you ask me, I'd say the volcano song.
Volcano song?
Oh, you know. Lava, come back to me.
Yeah. Well, what's yours, Professor?
Well, the song I like the best is You Ain't or Don't You Is My Bambino.
That's very good.
Bergen, ask me.
All right. Yes, all right, Charlie. What's your favorite song?
Well, my favorite song is By the Old Chalmain Pagoda Looking Cockeyed at the Sea.
From the Great Lakes Naval Training Station on the banks of Lake Michigan, we hear from the famed Thousand Voice Choir singing a medley of Christmas carols. Ladies and gentlemen, the Navy sings. They sing in pride, in exultation, and on this Christmas Eve, in humble gratitude. We listen now to our Navy.
Great big Merry Christmas to all of you from Edgar Bergen.
And a trial size from Charlie McCarthy.
And Merry Christmas to you, Charlie. And Merry Christmas to everyone. For myself, I have had the honor and the privilege in the past of bringing you the American prayer. Its sentiments today are as powerful as they ever were. I think it says what is in all our hearts this Christmas. The American Prayer. O Father who art in heaven, thou who hast given us birth, lend us thy flaming sword, O Lord, to fight thy battle on earth. As we walk through the perilous darkness, lend us thy holy light that shines in thy heavenly mansion to guide our path in the night. And lend thy shield and thy armor to the gallant boys over there. They are thy children, Father, and this is thy country's prayer, that soon may the forces of evil fall at last on their knees with the flag of thy kingdom of heaven flying high in the breeze. Then, sons will return to their mothers, and men to their wives, And then this earth will be like heaven. Peaceful and bright. Amen.
The Edgar Bergen Charlie McCarthy Show on Tuned to Yesterday from December 24th, 1944 on NBC. And that wraps up this hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Happy holidays.